bad thing happens, you can either let it destroy you, define you, or strengthen you. Choose wisely.
So did that pretty much end your Marine career, or did you have some time after that?
Yeah, so after that, I came back. I went to dive school and did all that, got some more training, got into some human intelligence work, and then I went to the Philippines on the next deployment. And then when I came back from that, I was in one of the survival courses and throughout my back at the end of it. So I still made it through, but I couldn't walk. And so their protocol was I had to get an MRI, but I'd been trying to get an MRI because my back had been giving me trouble. So once I got it, it showed that my like L5-S1 was completely blown out.
No kidding.
And once they did that, then they're like, okay, what else is wrong? So then they started doing a head to toe assessment. They found that I had something in my inner ear from an explosion. So small hole. And so I got some earplugs and whatever else, but basically I wasn't suitable for to pass the physical with what they had found with the ear, nose, and throat. So, I was like, well, I'm still good to go on. Like, whatever. And
of course we think we're invisible. My L5 is blown out. I got a hole in my ear. I've been concussed multiple times. I'm good to go.
Yeah. But I just wanted to I didn't want to be the guy that's like, not adding value is how I felt. So I was trying to stay in. And then luckily one of the medical officers was like, hey, I can tell that you're like trying to hold on to the door here, and like play your do whatever you think you're going to do. That's going to get you, whatever. And he's like, but I'm telling you right now, I'm ripping you off of that thing. You're done. You're out. You're getting out. So you need to start figuring out what you're going to do next. You're not going on deployment because if he said,
well, you're a danger to yourself and your team.
Right. And well, he didn't want me to go on deployment and and then come back and, be all like, he wanted. Yeah. So at that point I was,
there's a lot of guilt associated with that. Lot of my teammates who were injured didn't want to get out because they felt like they were leaving their teammates behind and weren't going to accomplish the mission they committed to and all that.
Yeah.
And that leads to a lot of problems, with the post-traumatic stress. That's the moral dilemma, the psychological piece. And then you have the actual trauma from TBI and whatnot. How was your, I imagine you had to do some recovery around post-traumatic stress, right? Most guys do.
Yeah.
So how did that go for you and how are you feeling today?
It was a process.
Pretty well adjusted, except for that horn growing out of the side of your head. Just kidding.
No, it's been a wild ride. Cause honestly, when I got out, I wasn't present. I didn't have any spiritual awareness. A lot of my intuition was turned off. I felt like, and I was just kind of like a robot that was like going through the checklist of life. Like every day I made checklists.
And everything is monochrome, right?
Yeah.
There's no
black and white.
Yeah. There's no joy, bliss, peace of mind. No. That's the worst feeling.
No. Wow. And I wasn't in touch with my emotions and I didn't have a process. So long story short, I got out. I'm like, in all my appointments, I'm like, I'm not a victim. I'm not. And then when I got out, I started to, I have a wife and two kids. So my son was six. He turned 7. And then that's towards the age where I started having these problems when I was growing up. And I was like, hey, I work to be to do anything for my kids. Right. And if they had someone that was outside their window, for even one day, I was just thinking these thoughts, that person, I would change that person's life. I wouldn't kill them or do anything, but I would do whatever I could to literally change that person's life. They would have so much fear in their heart that they would be doing something else that next day, but my kids would never have to deal with it for more than very small window of time until I found it. But I have my finger on the pulse of them so much that it wouldn't go for years where they're living in a closet. how did, and so then I started to think, well, how, why did that happen to me? Why did I, you know, this? And then like, I started thinking on this side, like, how did I survive those things? Mm-hmm. How did I survive the RPG? How did I survive these different things? When I have friends that didn't survive from a gunshot or from this or from this, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? And I went into this victim like breakdown to where it was just these negative feedback loops that are just going. Mm-hmm. And like, on top of that, I'm like sensitive to light, you know, now I'm way better, but light, loud noises, you know, like everything, like I come downstairs in my house in the morning and I hear it like a slam or something. And then that would set me in like, you know, fight or flight.
Yeah. Right.
And I felt like I was living like that, but I, you know, had some crazy chance experiences where it's like, you know, I had a teammate that was living on the streets that I got, and we were going to a healing ceremony or a healing work, rapid response therapy in Florida. And I got out there and he no-showed. And so now I'm there and they're like, well, you're going to do the treatment. I'm like, no, I don't need to do it. And so then I went through and I start like, now, like, I'm like, whoa. I start to see in color, you know, a little bit, and like things started to open up for me.
Wow.
Then I come back and, we had started, I started, so right when I got out, I went into business school at USC for the executive program for 2 years, part-time. And while I'm doing that, I was starting these companies. And so I'm taking everything that I'm working on and I'm applying it into school to push this further and to learn more. And I started coaching and training and just like doing a lot of different things where I'm searching for like meaning in life as I'm in breakdown. And like I'm coaching these different athletes and some of them are UFC fighters. And, you know, one of them that's, that sticks out, that was just the most disciplined person that I worked with at the time. And I was like, every time I would work with that person, I would leave and I'd be like, what is wrong with me? You know? And I just went on this like just breakdown with this that led me to a breakthrough. So I went to, I'd had some Navy SEAL buddies and contacts that had gotten into plant medicine work with PTSD. And so I had started to get invites to go to some different things. And, you know, I was saying no to all of them for like 6 months. No. And then finally they're like, hey, you know, the guy that was inviting me, he's actually an Army Ranger. He's like, you know, why don't you want to do any of this? And I was like, I don't want to go to a networking event. You know, I don't want to go to a military hangout for the weekend or anything. I have serious problems. You know, like,
yeah, you didn't understand what was at stake.
Yeah.
I've familiarity with that stuff and know some of those folks involved.
Yeah.
Ibogaine,
DMT,
ketamine, 5-LEO DMT can all be extremely effective. Ayahuasca to a lesser extent, but you know, when it comes to the post-traumatic stress, it's those three can have a profound healing effect because it gives, you know, it gives the vet the unity experience, a spiritual experience that is outside of the religious, you know, constructs. And so it suddenly, it brings that kind of sense of awe back into life, the sense of grace.
Yeah.
And then they, and it gives them a reason to live again.
Yeah.
And then there they can rebuild the lattice of, you know, the emotional and moral fabric that was missing in the teaming.
Yeah.
And the self-confidence to be, hey, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's probably the most rudimentary level. I'm a good person because I saw it. I saw my goodness in that experience I just had.
Yep.
So it's, I fully support that stuff.
Yeah.
Not just for vets, obviously, for anybody who's dealing with trauma and post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you do that in Mexico? Or because it's not legal in the United States.
No. I did it unfortunately. I did it at a safe location up in Northern California.
There you go. Check. Undisclosed safe location.
Yeah. But you know, even driving up there, it's like everything happens for a reason because I had no clue. I had heard, you know, some stuff on Mike Tyson that he had done it. And so I was going.
Even Tim Ferriss has come on and you know, done ayahuasca. He's talked about that. He's done a lot of emotional work. Anyways, it's cool that thought leaders are starting to, A, go down that road and B, talk about it openly.
Yeah.
Anyways, so sorry, I didn't.
No, so, you know, I remember like, because a big part of it with the plant medicine or any healing, I think, is having an intention before you go in. Mm-hmm. And then that intention is going to guide you. It's going right. to launch yeah, yeah, you into yeah, it. Yeah. And then all the mechanisms.
That's why it's important to do this with qualified people.
Right.
Right. It's not a joke. No. It's not recreational.
Absolutely not.
And it's also not something that you go back to time and time again, thinking that that's a spiritual practice.
Exactly.
And that leads to what I call a spiritual bypass, where you think that's your practice. No. That's a catalyst.
Right.
It's a healing catalyst.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I fully agree with that. Yeah. That's a great point. And it can be used as an escape, and that's definitely not the intent behind it. It's the most, to me, it's the most intelligent medicine like that I've ever experienced. I've never experienced anything like it.
Yeah.
You know, and the 5-MeO-DMT, but also I just tell people, like, you know, we talk about mental focus and closing out tabs and decluttering your mind and all this stuff. But you even think of yourself as a computer, and you go through life, and you get sleep and you do meditation and you have these things that you can reset your circadian rhythm and, you know, ways that you take care of yourself and your nervous system and whatever. But, you know, it's hard to, like, actually reboot.
Yeah. It's like a defragging the hard drive and a clean reboot. Yeah,
right.
That's fascinating. That's a good metaphor.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I went up there and I drove, you know, 14 hours up here to this place, and it's my first time ever doing it. I'm going to do the Toad, the 5-MeO-DMT.
Yeah.
And, I know that it's strong. I just, I knew that it was the strongest or strong that it had this crazy effect on Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's got to do something to me, you know? But then I was also like, I was having so much like inner chaos.
Your ego was resisting it.
Yes, huge. And so on the way up there, I didn't have an intention when I went, but I did though. Because, you know, my intention was to, like, move forward, stop living in the past. Mm-hmm. And, like, as I was driving up there, I would, like, scream out, like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I would get out and just, like, you know, at the time I wasn't running at all. Right. And I'd get out and just start running on the side of the road or something, you know, and then just. Wow.
The energy is already starting to flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they say, that, you know, when you commit to something like that, then, especially with the plant medicine, that it already starts to work.
Before
on you.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
That's interesting.
So, you know, long story short, I went into that first ceremony, with some shaman healers that are just amazing in this work, and basically had like a warrior's homecoming experience where it was just like everything that I needed. And I had some very powerful, like, life and death situations that happened in there. That was a full reset to where I was like, okay, maybe I've been thinking that I didn't want to live, but after that, it showed me that I do, you know, and whatever else. And so, I remember leaving that, and I had this vision where, you know, where I can impact masses of people that were just in that same situation that I was just in. That I can take this experience, because I had a very profound experience, especially on my last circle that I did that first time, where the shaman pulled me to the side and, like, just, you know, told me that they felt like I would be a conduit for other people and this and this and this and that, you know, whatever. And I really felt that, you know, and I had like some images and some things that came to me and those things that was all related to that. And so, I was feeling like it was going to be healing, like, you know, or supporting millions of people with depression. Nice. But I was like, I'm not an expert on depression. Like, and I was also like, well, how does that even make sense? Mm-hmm. But it was like, no, this is happening. It's already happened. Now you just get to live it out, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I came back and, like, I was just in a, like, I literally drove back the whole way, like, listening to music, dancing, feeling good, like, in a completely different chapter.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I came back into my life and everything's been, like, you know, and there's been a lot of work.
Yeah.
That just opened up more work.
Right. That's a catalyst that cracks you wide open, can show you a new purpose or vision. And I love how you said that, for vision for what's already been created, but it just hasn't played out in the temporal realm yet.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And then you've got to build the lattice back, right? And so that's where all your practices, like what you teach in your Free Your Mind guidebook and with your DEF training, Deep End Fitness, you know, you teach breathing practices, resiliency, you know, relaxation techniques, all this stuff that you had to do yourself, mm-hmm. right? So you've cuddled together some best practices. Without going into a whole ton of detail, let's talk about some of those best practices that are, you know, things that people can do every day, with or without water, to really stay calm and focused.
100%. So one of the first trainings that I got into when I was getting ready for Marine Raiders is mental focus work. Mm-hmm. And so I had a trainer and I would do different workouts like running, weights, a lot of high reps, low weight, and then swimming, et cetera, all in one day. It would be like, you know, 5-6 hours. And then the last evolution on those long days would always be holding a stick out. And it'd be mental focus. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I really locked into mental focus because I'm impatient, you know, and so.
Just holding the stick.
I'm holding the stick out, you know, and I'm like.
And you got to relax or else right. your shoulders just go.
Yeah. And I'm just like.
Absolutely destroyed.
You know, wanting to, you know, go. So I go through every emotion. And then after finally kind of hitting a surrender point, I would just be like.
Okay, relax.
Just have this crazy focus. And my trainer would be like, you know. After an hour, hour and a half, you're done. Yeah. I mean, I went through a lot of emotions in that time.
Yeah.
But at the end, I'm just.
That reminds me of just the classic Qigong stance. Like the most powerful move in Qigong isn't to move. It's just stand there like this, relax, and find the exact center point of your spine, you know, the central channel, and just let everything hang around that. And literally, you go through, like you said, you go through all these emotions and the breath, everything settles in. You know, after about 20 minutes, you just lock into this unbelievable energetic state, the flow state. And sometimes you feel the spikes of energy, the kundalini, running up the spine because you're just completely aligned around that center.
Wow.
That's the master, right? There's a movie called Man of Tai Chi, and who was in it? Johnny Depp. Who's the guy in The Matrix? Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
That's not how you say his name, right?
Keanu
Reeves. Canoe.
Canoe.
Sorry, buddy.
It's a good one.
Come on my podcast. I'll rectify it. Where he's the bad martial artist and the young kid is the good martial artist. And that's basically how his master taught him. Just this.
Wow.
And from that came everything. All the ability to control. Anyways. Yeah. A little bit of a tangent.
Yeah.
Made me think of that, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
So that, and then... we had, so taking that, what I just told you about the mental focus aha that I had with that.
Right.
And then the aha moments that I had as a water survival instructor, where I saw these individuals and even some of my instructors that would come to start training at the pool, we would have to get them up to speed to be instructors. And we saw that when they put their focus on themselves or their fear or their anxiety or all these things, that wouldn't unlock any results that mm-hmm. wouldn't work for them. But whenever we got them to shift and focus on this, hey, focus on that gun rack that's at the bottom of the pool and go get three of those weapons out, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. focus on the torpedo, I'm going to pass it to you, mm-hmm. or focus on taking the weight and walking it halfway across.
To get out of your head and focus,
right,
you know.
Focus out.
Outwardly.
Yeah, when in doubt, focus out. So like that. And then also that what I felt was that whenever we went under and we did these different focus drills underwater, that I could tap. What took me 6 hours on dry land and ending with this, mm-hmm. that I could lock into that like in 30 seconds mm-hmm. underwater if I'm like in the
zone. That is really, I'm the same way. I don't know because you have to be so calm underwater. So once you've trained yourself to be in the parasympathetic state underwater, when most people are in the sympathetic, then because you're in a sensory deprivation environment, and your mind gets really clear, then it's very easy to get into a flow state.
Yes.
Underwater for some reason.
Yeah. And also I think it's part of crossing your mammalian dive reflex and then you go underwater and then now you're, you know.
Plus there's something about water that has that kind of like going back to the womb kind of mm-hmm. emotional sensation, right? There's a lot there.
And even spiritual.
Yeah.
So
some of my favorite meditations are visualizations where I take people down into, you know, water experiences.
Yeah.
One's called Still Water Runs Deep, and it's profound for just this calming effect.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Take it through someday.
Yeah.
You can borrow it. No charge.
All right. Let's do it. I still got to get you to the pool too.
I know.
So going into the methodology, when my partner Don and I started the program at the end of 2017, we built our training methodology to basically be like a one-stop shop simple, kind of like the OODA loop. Mm-hmm. OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, act, and as a framework and tool that we use in the military a lot. Mm-hmm. So we came up with FREE. And we also wanted it to be what was missing from our training in the military that we could put in. So F, focus, mental focus. So having a mental edge or closing out tabs like in a computer so that you can be singularly focused on one thing. Mm-hmm. Declutter your mind so you have a very deep level of focus for a limited amount of things and one thing at a time instead of having a shallow depth of focus with a million tabs open.
That's right.
And we're not always going to be perfectly balanced. There's going to be times where we, you know, like endurance athletes are a good example. Like they're not balanced getting ready for competition. Mm-hmm. Their life is really not balanced, but they have to go out of balance to go to be extraordinary. Mm-hmm. They have to do that. So understanding that, but that's the gist of it. Relaxation. So we say on-demand relaxation, but if you think of a surfer, and with focus, we go underwater, so mental focus. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the mammalian dive reflex go off, and we're going to be signaled by our body and our mind that we need air. Mm-hmm. And we're going to actively choose to focus beyond that on whatever our task is or our goal or whatever the object of our focus is underwater. Mm-hmm. And so that we see creates a lot of cognitive control and top-down kind of approach versus avoid coping. And then relaxation, on-demand relaxation. So obviously when you go underwater, your energy source is cut off. So whatever energy or oxygen that you go down there with, that's what you're working with. So you don't want to expend any extra energy that you don't need to. So like head to toe being fully relaxed, but also being relaxed throughout. And then it also goes into energy expenditure. How do you source your energy? Are you an introvert? Are you extrovert by nature? And then how do we, you know, what creates flow for you with energy and what sucks your energy? What creates drag? And then going into E, the first E, economy of motion, that's really flow versus drag. So focusing on what drag is. Flow is anything that, like, once we have our goals lined out, flow is anything that adds performance or reaches us towards higher self or full potential. Drag is anything that holds us back from higher self or full potential. So anything in your life that creates drag in any area of your life, even if it's relationships, personal, professional, even hobby and leisure, things that create drag for you, you want to identify them and eliminate them. So even if it's, you know, a person in your life, like, you know, I got an NBA guy that I work with and his mom is one of his favorite people, but she creates drag sometimes. So he has to set boundaries, you know, so that he can be at high self, full potential. And so that's that. And then the last one is efficient breathing. So really just always looking for new breathing practices and techniques that are going to work on specific individuals that we work with. But it really just gets into, you know, you can have a shallow breathing chest, you know, or you can have a deep diaphragmatic breathing practice, you know, with different tools that you can use at a moment's notice that are going to basically unlock your present mind and, you know, focus.
That's awesome. Yeah. The breathing part is critical. You'd almost start there. Go backward. E-E-R-F.
Exactly.
You know. I'm excited to have this episode sponsored by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. Four Sigmatic's mushroom coffee is real, organic, fair trade, single origin Arabic coffee. It's got lion's mane mushroom for productivity and chaga mushroom for immune support. I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatic ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of just having regular coffee. I love how it helps me focus so I can get more done. It really is amazing. I absolutely feel an uptick in my productivity every time I drink it. Helps me focus like nothing else. Mushroom coffee is also easier on my gut. Doesn't leave me with that jittery feeling or midday crash that coffee can. All Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free, which is a major plus for me. Every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety. You know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible with Four Sigmatic. Now you're probably thinking, does this stuff taste like mushrooms? That was what I was thinking. I guarantee you it doesn't. It tastes just like the coffee you love. It brews dark and nutty, and it tastes great. Over 20,000 five-star reviews they have. Best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with 100% money-back guarantee. So we have worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee. This is just for Unbeatable Mind listeners. You can get up to 40% off plus free shipping on their bundles. To claim it, you must go to foursigmatic.com/unbeatable. That's four, F-O-U-R, Sigmatic, sigmatic.com/unbeatable. The offer is only for Unbeatable Mind listener, not available on their regular website. You get to save up to 40% and get free shipping. So check it out. Give it a try. Go to foursigmatic.com/unbeatable to fuel your productivity and creativity with their delicious mushroom coffee. Hoo-yah, Four Sigmatic.
So with that, kind of like the OODA loop, right?
Right.
We have a system that we use for to engage free like this. So, you know, you get in, I feel like your mind kind of gets into these like automatic or default networks or patterns where you just get complacent throughout your day or whatever it is, and you want to snap in. Or, for example, like I'm one of my worst exercise or things that I'm worst at in fitness is running. Always. It's just been my thing, and it's like it's drag source for me still even talking about it. But that's why I do it, you know, and I love it now. I'm like, I always didn't like it when I was in the military because I'd always be like the big, you know, the big guy that's like towards the end, you know, that's like me to lose weight. I should have showed up lighter than what I'm at. But now I actively run, and you know, we're doing a lot of research. We have a white paper research project around everything that we're doing with Deepened Fitness, Underwater Torpedo League, and Free. So our neuroscientists and our team that's running that, they watch all of our performance. And so since they're watching it, I have more accountability, so I want to do better. So now I'm
tracking
like,
you with a Garmin.
Right. Yeah. So like I've been on doing nasal runs for several months now that I wasn't never had done before.
So you're just saying mouth closed runs.
Yeah, mouth closed. So, and when I first started, I would reach threshold really quick and I would feel like, oh, like I would start to focus in. Nerds go off, all this stuff, I suck at running. My foot's still stress fractured. And then all of a sudden I would like engage free, focus out. I'd identify my drag source that I'm focused on something that isn't serving me. It's not going to unlock results or performance. So I'm on the trail around my neighborhood. I immediately focus out. So I focus on the environment, the weather here in Southern California, the fact that my neighborhood is the nicest one I've ever lived in, this or this. There's a nice lady on the other side that's running, you know, that looks like a nice person. I'm going to openly focus on this and that. And those are the things that work for me, right? Or even like you talk about connect with the witness.
Yeah,
it's I've been practicing that too.
It's a similar practice.
Right.
The witness then separates you from the thoughts and emotions.
Yes.
And then you can interdict the negative and replace it with positive dialogue as well as attention control.
Yes.
But without being able to do that, you're just completely merged with other thoughts and you're a slave to them.
Yeah.
And that's where most people are, right? They're slave to their thoughts. And that's all conditioning.
Right.
From a lifetime of a world training you.
Right.
And you not training yourself.
Exactly.
So I love what you've done. You've created a really neat, simple training method that can be used by anybody. You don't have to be joining the Underwater Torpedo League, or an elite athlete or a boxer or anything. Anybody can use it.
Yeah. So with this, how the program kind of evolved was that, you know, we're briefing free at every pool training and physical training thing that we have. Where it's like, hey, focus, you know, mental focus, we're going to go underwater. So you want to have your mind actively focused on something. So count numbers, put a song in your head, focus on something visually. Relaxation, be relaxed, don't waste energy, economy of motion. It's about your form. So arm action, leg action, body positioning, glide for each swimming stroke, you know, and getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
But then, you know, all these things kind of, you can go just deeper with them, you know, like economy of motion. What's your pattern of life? Can I see that throughout your week, throughout your month, throughout this? Because I guarantee we can move some stuff around or stack activities or trim some stuff to where you'll have more time and energy to spend on your strategic goals right here, you know? And so all of that being said, like, you know, we just constantly, we're in a growth mindset. I'm in a growth mindset. So I'm like, you know, I'm always striving to be a black belt, but I love the thought of that I'm a white belt too, you know, because I'm just learning and learning and learning.
Every day. Well, that's the way to be. You know, the black belt is just kind of an innovation for Westerners to give them a sense that they're making progress, right? The idea is to get to the white belt again.
Right.
You know, in fact, my instructor with a 10th degree black belt, I loved it when he wore his like original belt because it was white again. It had been through so much training that all the black was gone out of it.
Wow.
And so the true mastery is to learn to empty your cup every single day and not think you've made it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. A lot of people get to black belt and they quit. They think, I've done it. Hey, I'm a black belt. And
it's so attached.
It's just the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I did that recently. I started a keto training a few years ago and I had to completely unlearn or almost forget, you know, 30 years of scars, sansu, kung fu. And I already had to unlearn my karate to learn kung fu. You know what I mean? Then I had to unlearn the sansu kung fu to learn aikido. And ultimately, it's all still there if I need to use it. But the point is to not have to use it.
Right.
And the point is to train for life and to train for growth as opposed to train to beat somebody up, which is meaningless. You know?
Yeah.
And the more effective you get, and this is in the martial arts realm, the less likely is that it is that that'll ever happen until it will never happen. Because total mastery is mastery over yourself, or true mastery.
Yeah.
And then you'll never attract a fight in a million years. Anyways, that's a little bit of a rabbit hole, but it is somewhat related. Yeah, it's a good rabbit hole. Awesome. Well, we've been going on for a long time, but I do want to just get a glimpse for the listener into – a glimpse for the listener. I guess, you know, you do kind of create mental imagery when you listen to stuff like this. So let's give them a glimpse of what the Underwater Torpedo League is. That just sounds wickedly cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's not often you meet people who start a new sport. Like, I'd love to see this as an Olympic sport someday.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
So we're working towards that. And Underwater Torpedo League, you can think of it, I like it, people sometimes call it Underwater Fight Club.
Right.
But it's a combat, full combat sport underwater. With men and women, guys and girls.
Mixed teams? Mixed
teams.
Yeah.
And we have
you did that.
5-on-5 in the deep end with substitutes at a time. So we usually play at 13 feet with our official
and
game
the torpedo play. Is just this big rubber rocket.
Yeah.
It actually looks like a torpedo and you shoot it underwater. And
If
you don't shoot it right, it'll go off in all sorts of different directions.
Yes.
It's interesting. It's different because we played underwater hockey. We actually had a little tiny hockey stick and the hockey puck was a regular puck and it kind of skidded along the bottom. This is really different. It sounds harder actually
because
you're passing and catching, right?
Yeah, you're passing and catching and it's 360 degrees because the torpedo can go anywhere in the pool.
As opposed to just being on the bottom.
Right. And it can go 15 feet in like 1 second or 2 seconds. You know, it can go fast. So it makes it very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And attackers can come from every angle, even top down.
What are the rules of engagement for the attack?
So for the attack, you cannot have, there's no punching. There's no ripping of goggles or swimsuit of any kind. And there's nothing that, you know, there's no foul play. So there's in-water safeties and referees on both sides that monitor everything.
Mm-hmm. So you're going after the torpedo. You're not going after the person.
Right.
The kind of like flag football. You're not like tackling the person. You're trying to get the flag.
Yeah. And we've learned the hard way because we started with like
some
a 60%
MMA
solution.
Guys are going to be like, I got
this. Yeah. We've done some different stuff to where we've learned, you know, when we started this at the end of 2017, it was like backyard wrestling.
Right.
You know, and now we have like our system developed enough where the game and the rules and the gameplay that we go all game without any issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but when we first started, they'd be like, hey, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
What's that rule or why didn't we get it or something like, and so we had to kind of go from that 60% that we started with to like 99%.
Yeah.
And we've had some strategic meetings with groups or members from the Olympic Foundation and then from different Olympic committees and stuff. And we've gotten guidance and kind of a checklist of what we need to do.
The roadmap to become a sport like that at that level. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow. So how many teams are there now?
Right now, there's 6 active teams, and we have locations.
They got names like the Dolphins
everywhere.
And the Sharks and stuff like that.
The Irvine Rockfish.
Rockfish.
Because they all sink.
Oh, cool.
But they're all the best. They're the number one team right now.
Is that right?
So, We have 2 teams in LA, 2 teams in Orange County, 2 teams in San Diego. They're all competing every weekend, usually in San Clemente.
And how is this going to expand? You know, how do you scale this?
So UTL, well, Deepin Fitness is expanding right now through a licensing program. So kind of like similar to CrossFit affiliate. We have individuals in Miami, Vermont, Vegas, and Hawaii that are all in licensing processes.
And they need a pool for that. And that's a specialized training.
Right.
It's in water training.
Yes.
Mostly. Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously the Torpedo League is too. So you if you're going to start a team, you need to have access to a pool.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that would be the home kind of home gym, so to speak, or home place.
Yeah. And so we have all of those processes mapped out.
So someone could come to you and say, hey, Prime, I'm interested in starting a team, joining the league, and then they kind of take the lead on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are, you know, we're open to anyone. We like one of the coolest parts about this whole journey of starting these companies and doing training and this is that the network that has been kind of created.
Is there a cost? Like, do you license the name? You know, kind of like buying a franchise, you know, like, hey, I wanna, you don't just go start a soccer franchise and you know, join the whatever leagues.
The Deepin Fitness licensing is on average $10,000 to start.
The licensing, but what about the UTL if you want to start a team?
That's a franchise model and that's a lot higher.
I see.
Yeah. So those are still also, they're like the bottom of the funnel because they're so niche. Deepin Fitness is a little wider and that's our feeder program that gets everyone ready and capable and vetted for UTL. But the freer mind is what we've been really focused on the last, like also because it's so scalable and we can reach a mass. So with that, we started, you know, doing the free through UTL and Deepin Fitness. And that's the performance operating system that everybody uses. And we, you know, started training in 2018. We did an off-season NFL program for 6 weeks. And then we started to get some UFC fighters and this different stuff. And some of the UFC fighters would have me go with them through their fight camp of like 8 to 12 weeks with free. And basically work on
to kind of coach him on, on staying in alignment with the principles,
right?
Drilling and, you know,
And some of it would be about like a professional goal that they had, you know, some of it would be a personal goal and some of it would be like a relationship goal. So we started to
eliminate drag.
Yeah. We started to really like create some positive change for these, some of them. And so, and I'm also kind of a safe space cause I'm not an MMA coach. So I'm outside of that circle. So they can tell me stuff that they might not, you know, so all of that. And then after doing that for a year and a half, where then I started to get some feedback like, hey, this changed my life. You know, like, what can you, like, you gotta put this out or do something because you're just only doing it with a couple people, you know? And so I was like, okay. So I did a 6-month pilot program with these different CEOs and stuff. And I went through San Diego Sports Innovators with these companies. It's an incubator accelerator. So I have some different people from Sony North America and some other CEOs and people that hadn't necessarily trained with me at the pool that I was running through this virtual course. And so I finished that pilot program right when COVID hit in 2020. So now I've like, and I was just constantly on the move before that, but now I'm locked down and I had all this material. And so I, you know, for our other certifications, we have certification books, right? Like, and so we thought that that's what we were going to do with this, where we're going to create like the model, and then we create a certification off of it afterwards. So this was just to put all the training together, but we ended up like building it into, you know, a 3-ring or whatever and getting it printed at Kinko's. And then like, you know, Don and I, my partner, took a picture of it and this girl in our network's like, hey, would you guys want publishing? And we're like, what do you mean? And so we talked with her and it was like, yeah, that's another, one of my friends and mentors had publishing with you as well. And so, you know, it all fit. And so they took the product that we had, turned it into this. And so, over the last like year and a half or since COVID really, I've been doing a lot of CEOs, a lot of business teams and a lot of different kind of performance training with individuals and teams.
Nice.
And so I love it. I'm like, because every time that my whole
thing is. So essentially you're turning it into a coaching program.
Right.
So yeah. That's how you're going to reach more people.
Yes.
Beyond like deep end fitness, which mm-hmm. just needs a pool.
And right.
It's risky. And how many people are going to really do that? Like, yeah. You still have a lot of people, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I so. Agree.
That's going to be great. That's.
For me, it kind of got out of hand training like or coaching individual because
mm-hmm.
it's because bandwidth and everything else.
Consuming, yeah.
But we just did our first group course that was 5 weeks long and we had 25 in there and just as a beta and it was like, wow.
You just meet over Zoom like every week or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once a week, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is virtual with all the, you know, Kajabi.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very manageable and we had a huge, and it's also very powerful because you get the reflective listening from the group.
Right.
So they're like, wow. And I don't know why, what it is about that, but I'm sure you've seen that a million times, but they're like, wow, it blows people's mind to know that the other people are going through stuff in their life too.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're learning it for the first time over and over again.
Right.
They're like, wow, I can't believe that so-and-so.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Everyone's got shit to deal with.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a reduced drag in their life and can learn to relax and breathe better and, you know, free their mind. So these are great tools to help that. So good job. It's going to be fun to watch it evolve and watch the league evolve and Deep End Fitness. And I do need to get in the pool with you someday.
Yeah, 100%.
We missed our opportunity last week. I just got overwhelmed with my crush of commitments. I need to reduce some drag myself.
Yeah. Hey, well, we got to do this.
That's right.
And so that really worked out. And I'll get you in anytime that works for you. But also, I really believe in cross training. Yeah. And, you know, I've read the Unbeatable Mind audiobook like 3 times in the last month. Yeah. I'm big on audiobooks.
I'm working on that right now, 4th edition.
Wow.
Completely revised. It was my pandemic project.
Wow.
It's painful to read, actually, to redo a book that you started 10 years ago. I almost wish I'd just written a whole new version of it from scratch. So it's just been like sticking needles in my eye.
Wow.
Because I want to change every word. It's like, because I'm a completely different person than I was when I wrote it. But I'm going to get that done before the end of the year.
Wow.
And come out with my own
looking forward to that.
Journal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you know. I'll give you a copy.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, cross-training and cross-pollinization is really important. Like, we're all in this together to help people and help the world be a better place. So people hear things differently from different people, even if you're saying the same thing. That's why it takes a team to train people, I think. That's why in the SEALs, it wasn't one trainer at Buds that was the best. It's a team of trainers that is the best. You know, I look at that like our model is 5-mountain training, physical, mental, emotional, intuitional, and spiritual. You should have a coach in every one of those categories.
Right.
And that's your team of coaches.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, it's been an honor to talk to you, Prime. Super fun.
Yeah.
I appreciate you for your service and for your example of healing and showing what you can do when you're a man with a mission. So, hoo-yah.
Hoo-yah. Thank you so much for having me. And I wanted to give a shout out to Robert Owens.
Hoo-yah, Robert.
For connecting us. One of your amazing coaches. And then also Michael Osterlenk.
Mo.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And yeah, if any of this interests you, check us out on For Your Mind Coaching, fymcoaching.com.
fymcoaching.com.
FYM Coaching. And UTL Nation for UTL and Deep End Fitness, like the deep end of a pool. I'm on LinkedIn, Prime Hall.
Nice.
Like Optimus.
Optimus Prime. We'll go with that.
Yeah. But
awesome. Hoo-yah. Yeah, brother. Thanks very much. All right, folks. Thanks for your time. This is a great conversation. We covered some real territory here. Fascinating stuff. So go check out fymcoaching.com. Mm-hmm. And check out Prime Hall on LinkedIn, and check out the UTL and Deep End Fitness stuff as well.
Sir,
just a quick Google search will find that. And I've got your guidebook, so it's a super easy read, and there's some really actionable things and a training plan in here. Crawl, walk, run. I love it. At any rate, that's it for today. Thanks for being here. Stay focused. Be unbeatable. Go free your mind. See you next time. Divine out.